We have an enjoyable life. Amen. And of course, that life is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're on the lessons concerning our human spirit this morning. So if you'll turn to page, the second lesson on our human spirit is on page 25, the exercise of our spirit. And we're going to go through verses. So you can get your Bibles out and have your outline there. And we'll cover these points, hopefully in a good way this morning. Brother David and I will share. I want to open this way. I hope that all of us would have a clear understanding and realization that when the brothers put together the material for this training, it is not arbitrary. This is not something they just, you know, we got to fill some time here. All of these things are connected. And if you consider the course of the church, and you consider how much the enemy has damaged the church, and how difficult and what a fight it is, and I want you to realize this, what a battle it is, you might want to write this down, to be able to stay on this line of Philadelphia is a real spiritual battle. As we've heard for a day and a half now, the enemy hates this. The enemy is doing everything he can to, right? The gates of Hades are rising up against the building up of the church. So we are in a spiritual warfare. We're in a battle. But I very much appreciate how the brothers put together these lines, you know. The way to fight the battle is, first of all, every morning. Our morning revival is a key to this battle. If we don't learn how to touch the Lord, enjoy the Lord, receive the grace, receive the bountiful supply of the Spirit, morning by morning, it's hard to fight. Every soldier needs to be supplied. So the enemy, his first attack will be in the morning. Well, maybe his first attack is going to be at night to keep us up too late so we can't get up in the morning. But he's trying to affect our morning. Satan does not want you to be revived every morning. I think you understand that. You have to remember that. We're fighting a battle. And our brother Andrew is so cherishing and caring for us. He's always asking, are you tired? Why? Because we all are tired. And we know how much of a fight this is. But anyway, this is a fight. And then the matter of our human spirit, the second line, is critical in this spiritual warfare. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against principalities and powers and evil forces. We are fighting a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual warfare. Therefore, our human spirit is the key. It is crucial. I really enjoyed what our brother Billy said yesterday. He said, if you don't exercise your spirit, what happens? That was really something. It's a profound word. What happens?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing happens to stay on this line. If you don't exercise, actually, a lot of attack happens, and we get defeated, that happens, but nothing positive happens. So we need to learn to exercise our spirit. And we need to have the realization, and our brothers gave us a very good beginning yesterday, how important our spirit is. Right? It's ranked with the heavens and the earth. I mean, universally, it's unbelievable. And I hope with some of these verses today, you can also see, experientially, it is very, very crucial. Our human spirit means everything. And one thing I want to underline related to this point is that without exercising our spirit, and without learning to be in our spirit where the Lord is dwelling, we can't see the church. We can't see the church. Now this is, okay, a little sidebar here. Write that down, sidebar. Dennis is doing a sidebar. Okay, a sidebar is for the new ones, I feel this is critical. When we preach the gospel today and during the next semester, and we're preaching the gospel in this coming year, and we have new ones, the most important thing is to help them to touch their spirit.
Amen.
Don't be satisfied that they just touched their spirit and called on the Lord and got saved. And now, praise the Lord, it's all done. Right? Right, Philon? It's not enough. Not enough. They need to learn to touch their spirit. Because without exercising the spirit, they won't see the church. They won't see the body. They won't see much of anything. They just know they're saved and, you know, it just kind of ends there. But if we help them to contact the Lord in their spirit, my, then they love the meetings, they love the word, they love to be with the saints. That makes all the difference in the world. You know, sometimes the brothers complain, you know, oh, anyway, I shouldn't say too much. Anyway, when I came into the church life, you know, through the church in Chicago, I came into the church in New York, but I came in because the church in Chicago prayed for me for many years. And praise the Lord. Amen. We need the prayer of the saints, right? And when I came into the church life in New York, I just felt like I was home. This is my family. I mean, I just, you know, you just touch the spirit, and I just was so happy to be with all these saints. Well, I think if any of you have visited New York, you know, not too many look like me. Not too many people look like I do in the church in New York. Some look like you. Some look like, you know, I mean, we have every tribe, nation, tongue, and, you know, we have all kinds of people. But to me, this is my family. This is my brothers and sisters. Why? Because the brothers taught me to touch my spirit. In my spirit, there is no race, there is no color, there is no language. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. But we need to exercise to help our new ones. Touch the spirit. Touch the spirit. That is a critical, critical thing. Okay, just a sidebar. Okay, then the next line is to practice the God-ordained way. This is crucial. If we're going to stay on this line, we have to practice, right? The spiritual way to meet and to serve. We need to practice the God-ordained way. So, brothers and sisters, what we're getting in these morning lines is really to be able to learn how to stay on this line. To learn how to be Philadelphia. Because we need to be those preaching the gospel, right? And nourishing and cherishing the saints, perfecting the saints, prophesying for the building up of the church. All the items we are getting in the third morning session on the practice of the God-ordained way, this is critical for our staying on this line and staying on this line of Philadelphia. So I hope you put all these together. Don't separate these things. This is all for the same goal and for the same purpose. Amen?
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 Amen.
Everything we do with our spirit.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Very good. Okay, now, let's come to this lesson, the exercise of our spirit. Now, I want to give you a little sentence, write this down. There is a difference between the exercise of our spirit and the release of our spirit. Generally speaking, when we say, I mean, if you ask me, Brother Dennis, how do I exercise my spirit? Generally speaking, I would say, well, you call on the Lord, and you pray, read, and you praise the Lord, something like this, which is right. That's certainly a way to exercise our spirit. But if you want to ask me, strictly speaking, I would say that is more of the release of our spirit or the use of our spirit to flow the Lord out, to prophesy, or to contact the Lord. It's more of the, you know, the use of our spirit, the release of our spirit. Really, strictly speaking, to exercise our spirit, Paul says, I also exercise myself to always have a good what? Conscience before God and man. So the exercise of our spirit, according to this verse, and more strictly speaking, is to exercise these three functions: the conscience, the intuition, and the fellowship. When you spend the time with the Lord in the morning and you're fellowshipping with Him, praying to Him, enjoying Him, and receiving some encouragement or some enlightening from Him in your time, that is the exercise of your spirit. When you are following the leading of the anointing during the day to do something, to preach the gospel to someone, or not to do something, not to say something, talk back to someone when they say something to you, that is the exercise of your spirit. If we only can exercise by shouting, calling, or something, then we can't do that in math class, right? We can't do that in the office. in my little cubicle if I work in an office, you know, because they can hear. You can't shout. You can't praise the Lord. You know, when I was working, I would go to these offices and have to take care of, you know, certain things. And, you know, I just couldn't. Oh, Lord Jesus! I'm glad to be here in this meeting, you know. But in New York, the offices are usually off the ground. So you take an elevator up 42 flights. You can call a lot in an elevator in 42 flights. And I know there's security cameras, but I thought that was a good way to preach the gospel. I would walk into that office building and get into the elevator and the doors closed. Amen, Lord Jesus! I would pray all the way up to the 42nd floor and then I'd get out. Hi, Dennis Corey, sign in. There are times when we can, you know, but don't go to your chemistry lab and start screaming and praising the Lord out loud. They might call the security. But you have to learn to exercise your spirit while you're in class. So that means you have to follow the anointing, right? You have to have fellowship with the Lord while you're there. You can pray quietly. You can call quietly. You can take care of your conscience. When you're in class and someone says, hey, what's number 7? I don't have it. You're taking a test. What do you need to do? Exercise your spirit. Amen. Take care of your conscience. Say, I'm sorry, no, I can't. Right? Because we have a conscience. We have to take care of our conscience. Then, so, I just want to give you this little kind of intro. We're going to talk about a lot of practices. And this is a way to learn to exercise your spirit. But yesterday we saw the circles with the three functions. Strictly speaking, that is the real exercise of our spirit, and we need to learn to do that all day long. Follow the Lord all day long by the exercise of our spirit. Now, let's come to these points. First of all, Proverbs 20:27. I think we all should read this together. If you have your Old Testament or your maybe on your phone or on your PDA, we can open to this verse, Proverbs 20:27. This is Roman numeral 1, our spirit being the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts. Okay? You have that? Let's read it together. The spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah, searching the innermost parts. Sisters, read that. Brothers. These first three Roman numerals, saints, are what, it's kind of a basic description of what our spirit is. That's Roman 1, 2, and 3. Then the rest that I will cover and David will cover are what our spirit must do or should do, how our spirit should work or needs to practice, okay? But the first three are related to what our spirit is. The first verse is, our spirit is the lamp of Jehovah. Now, this is very, very precious. God is what? Light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. God is light. And as light, He needs a container. The light needs a lamp. And He has created us by breathing into a man, right, into his nostrils, we saw yesterday, the breath of life, and that created a spirit within man. We have a human spirit, and that spirit, our human spirit, is the lamp of Jehovah. Now, a lamp has this kind of function. It contains the light, and it expresses the light. In the same way, we are created with a human spirit that contains God as light and also expresses God. Right? Expresses God. Then the verse says, this lamp of Jehovah searches the inward part. This is light. This is light. And I believe this is related to our conscience. We have God dwelling in our spirit. Our spirit is the lamp, and God is light. And that light searches the inward parts. And we need to exercise our spirit to allow God to shine, right? To open to Him, to shine on us. This is not an outward searching. This is not a searching by regulation. This is a searching by God as light, by the life of God in our spirit. And to me, this is very much related to our conscience. Our conscience is a critical function of our spirit, and we need to allow the Lord to enlighten us, to enlighten all the inward parts, because there are a lot of things inside of us that we don't know. We don't understand. We may not see that clearly, but God sees and God knows and He is aware. So we need to allow Him and give Him the room to allow to shine on us, right? So this is how Proverbs chapter 20 describes our spirit as the lamp of Jehovah. And it has these functions to contain God. God has a place to dwell, and also to allow Him to shine and to be expressed in us and through us. Then, Romans 2, let's turn to 1 Peter 3, and verse 4. 1 Peter 3, amen. Before we read this verse, I want to read you a portion of the footnote from Proverbs 20, 27. It says, man's spirit is God's lamp within man. The light shining within man's regenerated spirit is God Himself. Just as the lamp contains light and expresses it, man's spirit was created to contain God and express Him. Now, this is the point I want to make. In order for the divine light to shine into man's inward parts, God's spirit, as the oil, must soak, then there's a parenthesis, mingle with, close parenthesis, man's spirit as the wick, and, quote, burn together with man's spirit. This shining comes through the mingling. We need to allow the Lord to mingle and to, right, to have room in our inward parts, that He could shine through the mingling of God and man. Okay, now let's go to 1 Peter 3, verse 4. Can we read that together? But the hidden man of the heart in the incorruptible adornment of a meek and quiet spirit, which is very costly in the sight. So our spirit is the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart. And here you also have a very good footnote. That the hidden man of the heart has the incorruptible adornment of a meek and quiet spirit indicates that the meek and quiet spirit in us is the hidden man of the heart. So our spirit is described in this way by Peter. It's the hidden man of the heart. Our heart is composed of all the parts of our soul, mind, emotion, and will, along with the main part of our spirit, the conscience. Among all these, our spirit is at the center. Hence, our spirit is the hidden man of our heart. As wives, the sisters in the Lord should have as their adornment before God their inner being, the hidden man of their heart, which is adorned with a meek and quiet spirit. Now, this portion is talking about marriage life. So it's referring to the sisters. But we certainly can apply it to all of us, right? All of us need to have a meek and quiet spirit. And in God's eyes, this is beautiful. This is an adornment. It makes you very beautiful in God's eyes, whether you're male or female. We have the hidden man of the heart. Okay. So I finished that sentence, right? This spiritual adornment is very costly in the sight of God, and it is incorruptible, not like the material adornment of the plaiting of hair or the putting on of gold and of garments, which is corruptible. So in our spirit, there is the hidden man of the heart, which is very beautiful in the sight of God. in the reading, Brother Lee says this is very good. According to 1 Peter 3, the most beautiful part of our being, the prettiest adornment in the sight of God, is a meek and quiet spirit. Praise the Lord. This is the hidden man of the heart. This point shows that our spirit is the deepest part of our being. So if we are going to be pretty in the eyes of God, we have to be pretty from the depths of our being. We should not just be pretty in an outward physical way. We have to be pretty inwardly in the hidden man. This man is hidden. Now, this is a good point. This man, in the Bible, we have three parts, right? Man, or the, I should say this, no. Our physical body is our outward man. And our soul is expressed as our and manifested, is our expressed and manifested man. And our spirit is our hidden man. But it's not hidden from God. This is the point, right? It's hidden from the eyes of men. But it is not hidden from the eyes of God, because such a hidden man, that is, a meek and quiet spirit, is beautiful in the eyes of God. So, for us to... God is looking, right, for those who are of a meek and a contrite spirit. He is seeking the such, right? And He is looking, and that is important to Him. That is beautiful to Him, that we would not have a proud or haughty spirit, right? But we would have a meek and quiet spirit, the hidden man of our heart. And even though others can't see, but God sees this, and it is very precious to Him because it is costly in His eyes. Then we go on to Romans 3, and let's turn to Ephesians 3:16. Amen. Before we read this verse, there is a cross-reference in 1 Peter 3:4, Romans 2:29, which says, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, in spirit, not in letter." So this note on in spirit is very good. You may want to write this down, note 29:2. Whatever we are, whatever we do, and whatever we have must be in spirit. The reality of all the spiritual things depends on the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is in our spirit. Hence, the reality of all spiritual matters depends on our spirit, not on anything apart from our spirit. Whatever is in us is vanity unless it is in our spirit. Everything that God is to us is in our spirit. I hope that this morning we could all treasure spirit. Our spirit is the key to all the realities in the spiritual realm. Okay, Ephesians 3:16. Let's read that together. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through our spirit. Amen. Let's read the first part of 17 as well. That Christ would be His home. So, we also, our regenerated spirit is also our inner man. And for us to stay on this line, for us to stay on the proper orthodoxy of the church, the line of the church in Philadelphia, we need to be strengthened every day, strengthened into our inner man. That's where our spirit. We need to be strengthened. And Paul prayed for this. You know, in chapter 1, he prayed that we would see. We have a spirit of wisdom and revelation to see the church, to see the body of Christ. This is what he wrote to the Ephesians. But then in chapter 3, he prayed for their experience. We all need to be strengthened daily into our inner man. Because all the realities of God, all the experience, our enjoyment of God is in our mingled spirit. So we need to be strengthened. Now, for this, the hidden man of the heart is one description. But to be strengthened into the inner man is much more stronger. It's more aggressive, Brother Lee says. right? This indicates that our inner man is not just something hidden, meek and quiet, but is something very living, active, and aggressive, so that Christ may use it for himself to make home in our hearts. So on the one hand, we have a meek and quiet spirit. On the other hand, we need to be strengthened, to be active and aggressive, to allow Christ to make his home in our heart. We need to exercise our spirit and pray for one another, right? To be aggressive. So, according to the Bible, you have the above three things that are basic descriptions of what our spirit is. It is the lamp of the Lord. It is a pretty hidden man in God's eyes. And it is the inner man, living, active, and aggressive for the Lord to fulfill his purpose. May these three points help us to know what our spirit is. Amen. Do you treasure your spirit? I'm not convinced. Do you treasure your spirit?
Amen.
We have such a spirit. Marvelous. Our spirit really, really is marvelous. Now, we want to go on to a few points and then David will continue. What we need to do now, Romans 4, our spirit needs to be stirred up.
Amen.
In Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, it says that God stirred up the spirit of a Gentile king, right? In order to accomplish his purpose, to get his chosen people at that time, the children of Israel, who were carried away in captivity, to come back to the proper ground and to build the temple in Jerusalem again, he had to stir up the spirit, right? He stirred up Cyrus's spirit. And then in verse 5, he stirred up the spirit of the children of Israel, and many of them. Their spirit was stirred up to return back to build God's house. So we need to stir up our spirit. Now, this is not to wait for something Pentecostal and, you know, wait for the Lord to stir us up. No, no. You need to stir your spirit up. Stir up your spirit. That's to exercise your spirit. Lord, rise up in my spirit for the building, for your purpose, for your goal. Yesterday, Leland started with this very, very precious point. God's will. His desire is the builded church. This is what he is after. And for that, he has made us with a human spirit so that we can stir up our spirit. Right? So exercise our spirit, not be passive. Now, this we could also use 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, right? We need to fan our spirit into flame. Paul charged Timothy, right? Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Because we don't have a spirit of cowardice, right? We have a spirit of power, right? And of sober-mindedness, right? We have a strong spirit, right? And we need to fan that spirit into flame. For this, I feel, brothers and sisters, companions help. Companions help. Sometimes I'm just a little low. So I need my brother Marty to help me to fan our spirit into flame. Sometimes we need to get together to pray, read a verse, or to call on the Lord, or sing a chorus or something. Right? We need to fan one another into flame. This is to stir up our spirit. It also is to keep our spirit burning, Romans 5. Romans 12, verse 11 says, don't be slothful in zeal, but be burning in spirit. We need to have a spirit burning and on fire for the Lord. Now, in the Summer School of Truth Teachers Training, Brother Lee mentioned this verse. And he mentioned it in this way, you know, that for if you're going to have a coal fire, a coal furnace, the old kind of, you know, of a burning furnace, not only do you need to put the new fuel in, you need to clear out all the old junk that had burned up from yesterday. You can't have a good fire, you know, with all the, I don't know if any of you have ever burned coal, but when my family bought this place in the country when I was in college, and the furnace was a coal-burning furnace. So you had to go in there and get out all the what they call the clunkers. You burn some coal. Some of it doesn't burn. It just becomes this hard rock there. So you got to clean it out every morning to get the fire going again. Well, that's the same with our spirit. We need to confess every day, right? To be burning in spirit, we need to have a clear conscience. So you need to get out all the things that block the way. Some things you need to open to the Lord. Lord, if there's anything in the way, and clear it out so that what? You can fan the spirit into flame. Amen. That we would be burning in spirit. Then point number six. Let's read Romans 6 together. Spirit indwelt by the Holy Spirit, needing to be the faculty of our prayer. And the brothers covered Ephesians 6:18 already this morning, so we don't need to read it. But that is that we receive the Word of God, we receive the sword of the Spirit by means of all prayer. So, there is a faculty in our spirit, the faculty of prayer. By means of praying, exercising to pray, right? Then we will exercise our spirit by praying. And I think this is a very precious faculty or function of our spirit. Whenever we come to the church meetings, we should exercise our spirit, right? When we sing, when we read the Word, when we pray, we should exercise our spirit. And that comes to the next point a little bit on John 4:24. God is seeking those. He is seeking worship from those who would worship in spirit and in truthfulness. And this is very precious. And I think these two are somewhat related, right? Because prayer is part of worship. Prayer is a way to worship the Lord and a way to fellowship with the Lord and exercise this aspect of our spirit or this function of our spirit to have fellowship is to pray. And I don't know, this is the best opportunity, but I would like to encourage you. You are not too young to be in the church prayer meeting. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, how many of you go. But I would encourage you, go to the church prayer meeting.
Amen.
Of course, we know the Lord's table meeting is probably the most important meeting of the church. But I would say the engine that drives the churches wherever you are is the prayer meeting.
Amen.
And to me, the prayer meeting is one of the most enjoyable meetings because all we do is pray.
Amen.
Well, in New York, we sing a little bit, but then we pray. And we pray. And you know, I especially coming into the church life, I used to repeat everyone's prayer. I don't know if anybody ever noticed this in New York, but I would repeat their, because I didn't know how to pray in the beginning, right? So someone would pray, "Oh Lord, thank you for the blood." I'd say, "Thank you for the blood." You know, I just repeat the prayers, you know. And what does that mean? That means if the prayer meeting is an hour long, you pray for a whole hour. How many times a week do you pray for a whole hour? Go to the prayer meeting. You can pray for an hour and you don't get tired out. Actually, I go to that meeting often very tired. I come out of that meeting extremely energized. Why? Because you prayed for an hour. Pray for an hour. You'll be burning. It won't describe it. Fanning won't describe it. You just, you know, that's the, you know, there's no, anyway. We're not listening to messages in the prayer meeting. We're not having to compose our prophecy. We're not nervous about when we're going to share our prophecy. We're not anything. We're just there, one with the Lord, praying and touching the triune God.
Amen.
Prayer is a tremendous thing. And I believe, brothers and sisters, as the Lord nears and for the preparation of His coming, we need to be those who give ourselves to more prayer.
Amen.
If we want to bear fruit on the campus, we need to pray more. We need to be desperate in prayer. No one gets saved without prayer. No one goes on without prayer. No one comes back without prayer. No one gets recovered without prayer. Prayer is the dynamo. It's the engine that drives everything, right? Watchman Nee said, prayer are the tracks where the triune God is this powerful locomotive to move. He can do anything, but He's waiting for you to pray for that. Waiting for you to lay the tracks for Him so that He can move. So these are some of the ways that we can function to exercise our spirit, right, for the Lord to bring us back on the proper course of the church. Amen. Brother David will continue some of these wonderful means. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord, my spirit. Oh, Lord, my spirit. Oh, Lord, my spirit. Amen. The human spirit, the mingled spirit, is a key, is a secret of human life, you can say. And it's a secret of a Christian life, and a secret to live the church life, and a secret to build up the body of Christ. Right? So I just want, in the beginning, you know, I want to draw a little diagram, which you will see. In the mystery of human life. That's what you're going to speak about, right? Okay. Okay. Well, if you can't see. Actually, why do I say it's a key? Right? God created the heavens and the earth, so the human spirit is equal with the heavens and the earth. Actually, it is the most important part. Man being the center of the universe, and yet, what is most important about man? It's our spirit, right? We're not dogs, we're not cats, we're not animals, because we have a spirit. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm a man. I'm the meaning of the universe. And I exercise my spirit. I know my spirit. Our spirit is not deadened. We had a previous diagram, but I just want to put this. So, in other words, but God, going through the process of incarnation, human living, crucifixion, death, resurrection, and the last Adam became the life-giving spirit. So, you want to experience God today in a subjective way, he's not in the heavens. Right? Who is he? He's the spirit. He is the processed and consummated triune God. He is the spirit. So Paul says, may the Lord be with your spirit. Hallelujah. Lord be with your spirit. Okay, this spirit that we had, we talk about this human spirit, it has something in it. At the time of regeneration in John chapter 3, he who is born of the Spirit is?
Spirit.
Okay, capital Spirit. So today we have, I think we're going to invent a word. A big S, you know, a small S, a big S in a small S, or a small S in a big S. The Lord is with our spirit. And he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So when we talk about the exercise of the Spirit, we have to know the Lord is in our spirit, right? He is a living person. God, the processed and consummated triune God, as the life-giving spirit, he is in our spirit. Therefore, this spirit that we exercise is the mingled spirit. Okay, mingled spirit. There's a footnote in 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit, right? It says that this indicates the mingling of the Lord as a spirit with our spirit. Our spirit has been regenerated by the Spirit of God who is now in us, right? And is one with our spirit. This is the realization of the Lord who became the life-giving spirit through resurrection and who is now with our spirit. This mingled spirit is often referred to in Paul's epistles. So if you have the sheet, you can take it out. Oops. Okay. My spirit. The mingled spirit. Of course, it begins with the human spirit in the Old Testament. So all the series, okay, it's here. Now, all the verses that we're going to talk about, most of them, it's here. Okay. I don't know how many. I think Brendan Miller said over 90 verses or something about my spirit. Okay, I'm going to refer this to, all the quoted verses, majority are found here. I'm going to go over there. Sometimes you have, if I have the time. But amen. Okay, my spirit. Okay, so here I just want to point out, okay, this is the key. the mingled spirit, our spirit. The Lord is in our spirit. So in a matter of exercising spirit, it's not only a, some kind of, you know, funny feeling, twinkling butterfly feeling, you know. No, it is the Lord. Okay, the Lord is acting. We're one spirit with the Lord. This is so subjective. We can't have his feeling. We can't have his heart. We can know what he wants. Right? Because our spirit is the container. Right? Our spirit is the organ to fellowship with him. We have a sense, the intuition, right? The fellowship and the matter of conscience our brother talks about. So our spirit is a faculty. It is an organ to contain God himself. Hallelujah. So let's look at it, okay? If you have a pen, circle it, okay? Of course, Romans 1 to 3, our brother talked about what our spirit is. Then the rest is what our spirit should be or must be. 4, stir up. You can underline it. Stir up. Amen. Amen. Not down, right? So the Lord stirs up, right? For the building, Zerubbabel, right? Even King Cyrus, right? The Lord does stir up in our spirit for his building. Even David, you know, he stirred up early in the morning. He won't go to bed, you know. He's there stirred up for God's building. Okay, stirred up. Okay, then what? Burning. Hallelujah, burning. Right? Do not be slothful, but burning in spirit, serving the Lord, burning. Okay, then the next word is praying or prayer. The whole matter of praying, prayer. Okay, then the next point, worship. Actually, our worship is our service. A service is our worship. Okay. Then the next point, Roman numeral 8, what's the word? Enjoying. Hallelujah, enjoying. You want to enjoy the Lord? Hallelujah, you have to exercise your spirit. Okay. And the next key word is ministry. I circled the word ministry. I'll go into this point of ministry. That is our work. Especially in the matter of prophesying. I'll touch that. The next word is knowing the things of man and perceiving the things, purposing in our spirit, judging, eventually being a whole person, being the spirit. The Lord is the spirit. I don't know what this means. Being a person in our spirit. Okay. So you got it? Amen. So these are the functions. How do you exercise the spirit, okay, in this matter? Okay, let's go on to the next point. The matter of prayer, I just want to add that you look at the course of the church. That, you know, just going back to what Brother Dennis shared, you look at these outlines. The 2 points, even 3 matters that is so crucial. The first one is the matter of the word. If you look at the degradation of the church, okay, if you look at the the overcoming of Philadelphia, it's related with the person. The person. Remember, they do not treasure the person. They replace the person. Idolatry, fornication. You look at that verse 6:17 of Corinthians, before and after, those are the situation. Subjectively, even personally, you fall into fornication, idolatry. So how to be safe on that? You have to touch the reality of the person. Because the name, right? You have, for Philadelphia, what's the verse? You have not forsaken the name and the word. Kept my word. Behind the name is the person, and he is the spirit. So the key, first of all, is the matter of the spirit. If you're in your spirit, actually you're treasuring the person. You're calling on the name of the Lord. You're exercising the spirit. You're one with the Lord. We're treasuring this person. That preserves us and saves us from degradation. And the second point is the matter of the word, right? The faith, the teachings, all the teachings. You see, it's related with the word. But our prayer reading the word will preserve us to be on the course of the church. And the third matter, to bring in the revival, right? The last message of the training, the three items, high peak of the divine revelation, we need to pray, read, enjoy the word, to be revived in the word. And the second thing is to live the God-man living. So the matter of the exercising of the Spirit is not only in the meetings. It's not only shouting. It's not only reading, but living in the mingled spirit, to live the God-man life, denying ourselves, resurrection life. And the third aspect is the God-ordained way, which is covered here. So today with the Recovered Church, right, we're bringing the last and final revival. Right, so it takes these three matters. That is what we're covering, you know, this week. Right, we're practically, subjectively, as college students, right, contacting the Lord in the morning to be revived, to get into the Word, to be constituted with the Word. Right, the person, He is the Word, He's the Spirit. Right, we're exercising our spirit. We know our mingled spirit. We're exercising. Eventually, we'll touch the matter of discerning the Spirit, and the matter of ministering the Spirit. The whole matter is related with the with our spirit. And then when we go out to preach the gospel, it's the word and the spirit and the word. Right? You enjoy the word in the morning. You'll be filled in spirit. So you're just speaking forth the word, speaking God as the spirit, speaking God as the word, living word, into people. Wow, to bring them into their human spirit, to regenerate their human spirit. So our going out is to flow the word and the spirit. And this is a God-ordained way. Begins there, shepherding, continuing, you know, perfecting, and prophesying. It's all related. Amen. Okay. The point that let's continue on. With the matter of lead our spirit, let's read together 8. Our spirit needing to take the lead in enjoying the Lord. Okay, here, Luke 1:46. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has exalted in God my spirit, my Savior, and my spirit has exalted in God my Savior." Okay, so this is a quote. This is a quote from the Old Testament. That means she's so familiar with the verses. She must have pre-read. When the Spirit came, and it's just overflow. It's a quotation from the Old Testament, exact word. It's quoted in Hebrew. Okay, but the footnote in 47:1 says, "First Mary's spirit exalted in God, then her soul magnified the Lord. Her praise to God issued from her spirit and was expressing through her soul. Her spirit was filled with joy in God, her Savior, and so manifested the joy of the magnifying of the Lord." Okay. So she lived and acted in her spirit, which directed her soul. I will read this again. She lived and acted in her spirit, which directed her soul. So her spirit's exalting God was due to her enjoyment of God as our Savior. So pay attention to this word, directing. Sometimes I don't feel like praying. I feel bad. My soul, okay? You're in your mood. You know, something's bothering you. But you have to exercise. Don't let your soul affect your spirit. God is in our spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The law of the spirit of life, which releases, you know, free us from the law of sin and death. Where is that law? In our spirit. So it is the spirit that's directing her praise. Okay, so pay attention. Direct. This matter of praising. So exercise, right? Even in a release is to help us to touch our spirit. I'm so tired. So Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus! You know, we need that, right? We need to release it. But the point is not to let our body affect us. Not let our emotion, mind, and will trouble us. But to what? Turn to the spirit. If you touch the Lord, there will be exaltation. There will be praise. Amen. So directed, okay? So that's experience. And then the next point, can we read it together? Our spirit. Okay, the reference is 1 Corinthians 14:32. What is 1 Corinthians 14? Prophesies. The Lord said, I will build my church. How does he build his church? Right? Of course, you have Ephesians 4. The gifts, but the gifts perfect members, each one, right? Each one joins a supplies, but the function of each one part builds up the body in itself in love. So in love, right? We talk about Ephesus, in love. But there's something that all of us need to do is being recovered. It's a matter of prophesying. He who prophesies builds the church. So prophesying, the whole matter of prophesying, I would encourage all of you, if possible, in all the church meetings, purpose, determine, take the initiative in you. Say, if I'm here, I'm in a church meeting, okay, I'll sit in the front row. Okay, brothers, don't sit on the back row. Okay, sit in the front row. Get ready to prophesy every Lord's Day. This is our right. This is a way to, you want to exercise your spirit, prophesy on Lord's Day. Don't sit at the back. Don't hide. but prophesy. Because he who prophesies builds up the church, the body of Christ. You want to consummate this age? If we want the Lord to come back, let's all prophesy. We can all prophesy one by one. Because we have that mingled spirit, right? We're prepared. Okay, so at this point, the matter of prophesying. Then can the sisters read the next point? Okay, the matter of knowing. It refers to, knowing the things of man, 2:11, Corinthians 2:11. For who among men knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? In the same way, the things of God also no one has known except the Spirit of God. The footnote, 11:1. The spirit of man is the deepest part of man's being. It has the faculty to penetrate the innermost region of the things of man, whereas the mind of man is capable of knowing only superficial things. I was talking to Dennis. He said, a lot of people say, you know, I don't know, I don't see it, I can't get it. Even we talk to professors. Have you tried to talk to professors? They're knowledgeable. Right, but it says that the mind of man is capable of knowing only superficial things. Doesn't matter how highly minded he thinks he is. He's superficial because he hasn't touched the spirit. Right? Okay. Okay. Let's read on. Okay. So only the spirit of God can know the deep things of God. The Corinthians believers had neglected the spirit of man and the spirit of God, having turned instead to live in their mind by philosophy. Hence, the book shows the proper experience of these two spirits is essential for the practice of the church life. So in the church life, Paul determined not to know anything else, only Christ and his cross. Of course, he was what? Exercising his spirit. You know, even in our daily lives, we're faced with tree of knowledge and good and evil. So you hear things, right? You experience things. I thought this, but it's so simple, brothers and sisters. Actually, to live in a church life, to be a Christian is so simple. That is, we just live in our mingled spirit. We touch him. We don't care for anything else. Right? It's so simple. Let's come back to the simplicity and purity that is in Christ. Don't care about this and that. You know, this offense, that offense. You know, let's get to our spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Exercise our spirit. Amen. To know the deep things of God. Because God, the Spirit of God, knows the deep things of God. It's in our spirit. So in the gospel preaching, you have to lead people what? To pray. Just don't talk. At the end, can you read this prayer with me?
Amen.
Amen, right? Read it. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
A little louder. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
amen.
I'm a sinner. Okay, you're going to do this. So, you know, you're going to get someone, you know, regenerated.
Amen.
Wow, hallelujah. Welcome on at 1 o'clock. That's fail, okay? That's fail, that's learn. because we learn by fail, by being you know. Let's try it, okay? Don't be afraid. Just go. Exercise our spirit. If they are not saved, we are saved. Saved from my face. Hallelujah. Okay, the next point. Let's read it together. Okay, here, perceiving things is the Lord. Among the Pharisees knew fully in his spirit that they were reasoning this way within themselves. And said, why are you reasoning? Okay, this matter, of course, the footnote says it's because of he's omniscient, you know, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, so he knows. He knows. Okay, but how about us? Do I know? How do we perceive? Okay, my time is, okay, well, okay, three more minutes. Okay, okay. So he knows, but Burden says, actually, we can know. In contacting, shepherding people, in the character of the Lord's co-worker, we are like a thermometer. So we have to, in a sense, as serving ones, not only to the college students, as serving ones, we have to learn to deal with our spirit. That means we need to exercise our spirit. So when we touch people, we hear people, not only touching or hearing people's words, not hearing what they say. You have to pray in the mingle spirit to know what that person needs. He may say, I don't need Jesus. I hate the Lord. But actually, he's crying in his spirit. I don't know what to say. I don't want to expand too much, but I just want to point this out. The matter of knowing man and perceiving has so much to do with us. So we ourselves actually, but it means that preserve yourself. We're only, you know, if you spend all the time on the internet, when you come to fellowship with brothers and sisters, you're tired. So we need, in a sense, even our body, even our soul, need to be kept in a sharp situation. So in contacting people, we need to exercise our spirit. I don't want to go, but I just want to point this out. Okay, amen. And purposing our spirit, Paul, even judging, okay, these two points. How can he purpose? He said he's purposing to go to Macedonia. How can he make that decision? I thought that the decision is made by his mind. No, it is by his going, living in the mingled spirit. He knows what the Lord wants. It is Lord's, the footnotes I don't have time to read, it's the Lord's directing him. The Lord's leading him. Therefore, he purposed in his spirit. It's not he wants to go, but it is the Lord in him. He touched the Lord's heart. Amen. And judging, the matter of judging, we'll come to the matter of discernment. Before you can judge something, you have to discern. Discern the matter of the soul from the spirit. So it takes the word, not only the doctrinal word, but it takes the living word of God as a two-edged sword. Right? So the Lord has the two-edged sword, sharp two-edged sword. Amen. Okay, and in the end, he became a person in spirit. Okay, to use this here, let's turn to the back. Revelation 1:10, 4:2:17, 3:21:10. But the Bill share with us, when you are in the Spirit, you can have the revelation. You see the four things. I won't repeat. But I will bring to you, if you turn to Ephesians. Okay, of course we have every chapter of the book of Ephesians is about love. But here, let's look at this. Ephesians, you see 1:17 on the back page. 1:17. You want to see revelation? We need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And 2:22, God is the dwelling place of God in spirit. And 3:5, the revelation is revealed in spirit to the prophets, apostles and prophets in spirit. And 4:23, the spirit of your mind, even our mind be turned to the spirit. And 5:18, filled in spirit. Do not be drunk with wine. And then lastly, 6:18, is what? Praying, petition in spirit. So I just want to point out. So let us know our spirit, the mingled spirit, and let us live in the mingled spirit. So we can serve, we can live the Christian life and serve God according to the Spirit.